It is time for Arts Live and Local. Arts Live and Local is sponsored in part by the Astor Street Opry Company's 30th season of, sing it with me, Shanghai in Astoria. Last week we had four of them in here singing. Woo! Now running through September 13th. Information and tickets available now by calling 503-325-6104 or online at AstorStreetOpryCompany.com. And I went to the dress rehearsal, barely a dress rehearsal. It was basically opening night as far as I could tell. It was terrific. And it was mostly new cast. I understand there are going to be a lot of old folks coming back in of whatever age and stepping into various roles. So check it out. And, of course, if you have guests, take them with you. And it opened last night. Well, today's show is packed, so we're going to get started right away with some music, a couple of our local favorites, and that would be Hook and Anchor, because they are playing at the Waikiki Beach, Cape Disappointment, 7 p.m. on Saturday. Welcome to Arts Live and Local. Thanks for being here, folks, on this absolutely gorgeous, yet another gorgeous day in the Pacific Northwest. Carol here.
Water's on fire, oh, water's on fire. Gonna get lit up like a funeral pyre. Oh, we dance by the light of the moon, oh, dance by the light of the moon. Stains on her dress and blood on her knees. Blood on her knees, oh, blood on her knees. If you want to dance with her, still you've got to ask me. Oh, to dance.
By the light of the moon, we sure can do that these days, can't we? Hoo-ee. And with these gorgeous clear nights, it makes it even better. And dance, way to go. Well, dance and music, ways to go. And here in the studio with me, and of course it's summertime, so flowers and gardens too. You can see where I'm going with this one. It is Music in the Gardens Tour, which is part of the Water Music Festival on the peninsula. And I have my guests, Nancy Allen, who is the chair of the garden tour. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You bet.
Thank you.
And also Susan Spence, who is the president of the Water Music Festival.
Hi, nice to be here.
How long have you been doing that, Susan, by the way?
I've only been the president for 2 years, but I've been on the board for quite a bit longer.
You guys shift quite a bit, don't
we
you?
We do. That's as a matter of fact, one of the first people who was the president was my sister, 30 years ago.
Oh, keep it in the family.
Exactly. Ann Kishner.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Ah, okay. Now you see, now the plot thickens.
Connections.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And how about you, Nancy?
Well, this is my fourth year as a garden tour chair, and this is the eighth year of Music in the Gardens.
Aha.
Of the garden tour, yes.
Who started it?
Patty Jacobson did.
Okay.
Yes, she did it for 4 years, and then I took over for the last 4 years.
So are you a gardener? Are you a musician? What's the story?
I'm not a musician, although okay. I love music, but I am attempting to be a gardener in this challenging, interesting climate up here. Yes.
Oh, where did you live before?
Southern California. Yes. sorry.
Oops.
Well, yeah. Yes, quite. But my husband is sixth generation on the Long Beach Peninsula.
Okay. So you can get some tips from his family around.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's definitely a different climate from everywhere, it seems. But,
right.
But
right.
We love it. We
yes,
love it.
And I do too.
And when the rain comes, it waters the garden and you don't even have to do that.
Yes.
It's one of the advantages.
Joyful. No drought.
Now, there are several garden tours that go on in Astoria and on the coast. But this is a little different, and some of them even do have musicians in places, but you actually focus on music in the gardens, and how does that work?
Well, we have a live musician playing at every garden the tour.
How many gardens?
This year we have 10.
Oh, my goodness.
But it is possible to do them all. Yes. Yes. Everyone said yes. We have two gardens that are right next to each other, so you can park once and view both of them. And we have another set of gardens that are very close to each other.
Well, now we're talking the peninsula and... Oh, my.
Yes.
You go all the way from Seaview up to Oysterville.
Correct, yes.
Oh, so, and on both sides of the...
Yes.
Well,
yes,
okay.
But there'll be great signage, and most of them are off the main road, so it'll be easy to find the gardens.
Okay, and the weather will be excellent. So,
as,
of
fingers
course.
Crossed, right. Yes.
People could even park a car at the end and start walking, although I don't even know how far. No, it's a little bit far.
It's a driving tour.
It is a driving tour.
It is
tour.
A driving tour.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So how do people get involved in this, and how do you choose, or how does it work?
Well, I'm always looking for gardens, and that's part of the joyful part of my job, is to find beautiful, interesting gardens for the tour. I talk to people sometimes for a couple of years, and they're preparing for a couple of years, and then when they're ready to go... they're on the tour. Other times people contact me and say, could I be on the tour?
Oh.
And in that case, a couple gardeners this year did. And that makes it a little bit easier because you're not talking people into joining the tour.
Right. So. I'm just picturing you wandering around. Every time you see a nice garden, you sort of park the car across the road and just sort of wander over and check it out.
I've left my card in many doors. please call me.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well, this is yet another way that the peninsula seems to work together. I know the Peninsula Arts Association, the Clay Association, the Studio Tour, and the Peninsula has just, not to mention all the theater going on in the museums, it's just exploded in the last number of years.
Yes. Yes,
it very
has.
Impressed. And food.
Exactly. That is something I should mention, that many, not all, but many of the gardens will be having food and drink.
And is that the people serving cookies, or?
You know, in some case it is. Again, it's totally optional, but other people are having it catered.
Oh.
And some people are marvelous hosts and hostesses themselves. So there's no need to have breakfast or lunch. Just come to the tour and kind of nibble your way through.
I love it. You know, I can just, again, imagine people with cell phones going, all right, guys, number six, they have incredible food, get there fast,
yes,
go, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
great strategy.
Do you have some, I know we're not giving away who all the gardens are,
no.
But do you know some of the musicians? Can you tell us who's
yes,
playing?
Yes, I do. At one of the gardens on the bay, we're going to be having Will Hosari, the Finnish American, yes, playing the cantile.
I have to say that my last guests today are actually from the Finam Festival.
Oh.
where Wilho is one of the stars.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
How nice.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect. And then we have the Mozart Chicks. They are a quintet, classical music.
Yes. I know Judy Uran's part of that. That is great.
And from Astoria, Jennifer Guttenberger is going to be there, along with Shelley Loring, playing the flute.
Together, the two of them?
No, separate gardens. Each garden has their own musician.
So Jennifer on keyboard.
Yes, and Shelley on the flute. And if people are interested in finding out when the musicians are playing at each garden, because they won't play the entire 6 hours of the tour.
Oh, really?
No.
What a surprise.
Yeah. And so our Music in the Gardens tour Facebook page will be posting the times the musicians are playing at each garden, along with teaser photos from each garden. So that would be fun.
Unidentifiable, though.
Right,
so
right.
I gather you'll space the musicians out so that people can... They won't all be playing from 10 to 2.
I hope not.
Oh, okay.
I hope. It's kind of between the musician and the gardener.
Okay.
You know, how they want to work that
so
out.
So did the gardeners solicit the musicians, or were you part of that also?
No. When I joined the tour, they had a list of musicians that typically service the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to add a couple more.
Let's just hear that, folks. Musicians who service the gardens.
Yes, I did say that, didn't I? Yes.
That's good.
Yes,
that's a good quote.
And,
I'm going to write that one down.
Okay,
Nancy.
Okay. Yeah. Don't tell the musicians, but anyway, but we did, obviously, because of 10 gardens, we did have to add some musicians, but we do have Sherry Walker on the Celtic harp.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, from 42nd Street.
Right.
Cafe.
Barbara Bate on the keyboard.
Oh, yes.
Randy Brown, who was of Astoria, but he's actually jazz guitar, and he lives in McMinnville now, but he's coming up for the tour, as he does every year, continues.
Nice.
And Tom Trudell will be playing at the Garden all day. He will be a six-hour musician.
He is. He's a nonstop guy. You know, he used to be a programmer here, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's quite fabulous. So, well, they're all fabulous. I know every one of those musicians, and they're wonderful. And it's another, and I'm sure you're paying them really, really well, too. Oh, yeah.
We are paying them, yes.
It's a wonderful thing that local musicians are able to, they've just upped the ante in this area by playing at restaurants and venues and markets, and it's... really, I think, improve the entire atmosphere in this area.
And I should probably mention the reason we are so focused on having the musicians in our gardens is because we are a fundraiser for the Water Music Society.
Water Music Society?
Yes.
I hadn't heard that term before. Okay.
Yes.
And if folks, because we're going to move over to Susan to hear a little bit about... is that what you're the president of?
It's the Water Music Festival Society is the formal name for it. And it puts on both the Water Music Festival, which is in October, three separate concerts, which are now once again at intimate venues, as it was when they first started doing Water Music Festival. They had them in very small venues and just lovely places. And this year we're going to again be at Leadbetter Farms, Oysterville Church, which is always so beautiful, and the Inn at Harbor Village, which is a wonderful place for a concert, very personal. Then you also have food at these events too. So once again, no need to go out to dinner beforehand. We also put on the Jazz and Oysters concert, which is coming up in August 17th this year.
And I always like to mention that that was started by two of our programmers, and that was Carlos Welsh, who was the jazz man, and Sharon Montoya Welsh, who was the oyster and garlic woman. And they conceived of this idea as a benefit for Water Music Festival. They haven't lived here in years, although they do come and visit. And so, see, it's all one big family here. It is.
Diana creative. Thompson and John Adams have been heading that up now for, 8 years or more, maybe more.
Yeah, Diana will be in, actually, in August to talk about it.
So they've got a wonderful lineup of musicians. And then we also do a Christmas concert. It has been the tubas, and this year it's going to be Scott Kreitzer at Inn at Harbor Village.
Oh, nice.
Which would be a really wonderful kickoff to the holidays.
Yeah. And how long has Water Music Festival been going?
30 years this year.
There you go. Boy, it was a big year. KMUN is 31 this year, but Shanghai is 30, and and Water Music Festival 30, and the Jazz Seaside Jazz Festival is right around there too.
We've got to hand it to those people that started all these things. All they really did a wonderful job,
and to the folks like you who keep it going. That's the important thing. Now, tell us, getting Nancy, how do people need to buy their tickets in advance?
They don't need to. The tickets will be on sale the day of the tour, but actually they're on sale right now at three venues on the peninsula, the English Nursery, Peninsula Landscape Supply, and Adelaide's.
Okay.
As well as brown paper tickets online, but in that case you would pay for it online, but you'd need to pick up a ticket with the descriptions and the map at one of those venues. And they're $15.
And if you're out of town, then and you just hear about this, or you're a procrastinator like as I am, you can go to one find out where something's happening and then get your ticket.
Well, the three venues have the ticket, yes, and they'll have them on Saturday.
So you can't really buy a ticket at one of the gardens.
It'd be better not to because the gardeners are basically not
they have
prepared.
Enough to do.
Exactly. They do have a lot to do that day. Yes,
well,
yes.
It's going to be fabulous. The Music in the Gardens tour happening Saturday the 19th. That is a week from tomorrow, folks. It is coming right up. And is there a website or phone number people can go for information?
Watermusicfestival.com.
Okay, there you go. That's easy enough. And this is a benefit, again, for the Water Music Festival Society. Thank you so much for sharing it with and making it happen. Nancy Allen, chair of the Garden Tour, and Susan Spence, the president of the Water Music Festival Society.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Wonderful. It is the season for sure. And I bet some of those gardens are going to be smelling delicious, too. I have some music for you. Speaking of someone who shares his talent, Tom Grant is going to be at the Tillamook Library 6:30 on Wednesday. And Tom's been here in Astoria and all over. He's based in Portland. Have a listen. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and stay tuned.
Sleep never in my wildest.
that is Tom Grant, and again, he's going to be on Wednesday at the Tillamook Library, 6:30. And I do want to tell you that some very lucky person who is close to a phone, do not do this while you're driving, please. I'm really against driving accidents, especially these days. You can call us right here at the station, 503-325-0010, and you can get yourself a ticket for the garden tour on Saturday, July 19th, 10 to 4 p.m. Call only if you're sure you'll be able to use it. It would be a shame to waste it. It's going to be fabulous. 10 gardens. Phew. Okay. Well, whoop, there goes the telephone. And my next guests are here, and it's one of those full studio spots. I have, let's see, get this light out of the way so I can see you all. Better pull it down. Okay. I have folks, these are the visual artist part of the show, and Joan Stewart Ross is doing double duty, actually, this weekend, right?
True, yes.
And as a matter of fact, it's been going on for quite a while, from what I understand, since you helped to curate the group show, which is happening at Imogen Gallery on 11th and Marine Drive. And I'm pretty excited to find out more about this and to see the show as well. I have two of the other artists who are involved in this, Ballard Works. And you can say it Ballard Works or Ballard Works. And I'll let Joan and also John Gleason. Hi, John.
Hi.
And I'm going to do this right. Dion Harutunian.
Perfect.
Good. There's always got to be one challenging name in a group. Yeah. So those three folks are actually the original members, owners of Ballard Works. Joan and all of them are artists with works in the show. Joan helped curate the show, but that's not enough. Joan is also having a solo show at Riversea Gallery, which holds her work, represents her. And she, for that show, that's a solo show. In addition, another solo show is happening at Riversea by her friend Nancy Pobans. So welcome to you, too.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to start with this Ballard Works because I love the concept, and I'll let you tell us what it is. The show that's happening here at Imogen is 11 artists, is that correct?
Yes, 11 artists who have studios at Ballard Works.
How many studios are there?
There's about 20 studios and two artist businesses. One is a felt textile person, and one is a photographer, and then there are about 18 individual artist studios at our building.
And our building, what is this? It must be huge.
Well, it's about 14,000 square feet, three stories, and John and Dion and I own the building, and we also have studios there.
Okay, so how did this happen? Why would artists want the headaches of also being
there are
of course of being land you know landlords quote unquote and working artists as well in your own space? So tell us how this came about, and what was that building? Was it a three story high?
It was a gemstone tumbler factory.
Oh,
the person who had the who had actually the space built in the 70s was manufacturing gemstone tumblers, and then they decided to sell the building when just about the time I had a business in the arts for 21 years of a printmaking studio that I was looking a home for. And I knew that Joan and I had been friends a long time, and I knew she also was interested in having her own studio in her own building. And so we found this place that now became Ballard Works, and we gutted it and totally remodeled it.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we had to completely gut it.
Built it out from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. How long did this take?
Well, we were It's only 6 months, which
was
amazing.
It took about 6 months. Yeah.
Pretty much night and day work.
When did you do this? What year?
We started on the 20th of August, 2003.
But who's counting, right?
The right.
And what time?
Yeah, it was at 8 o'clock that morning.
We opened it on New Year's, pretty much,
wow,
2004.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You were highly motivated.
Highly.
Obviously. Yeah. Highly. Yeah. So what was the inspiration to do this?
Well, I had wanted to invest in a building, and I had said to Dion one Christmas, gee, let's find 10 people who could raise $100,000 each or whatever and buy a building. And John and I had talked about it.
And you were serious when you said
that. I was serious, yeah. I thought if people had were lucky enough to have their own home, they could maybe have equity in that. So maybe we could find people to do something of that sort. That would keep our rents down for our own studios for perpetuity, which would be great.
And there's no such thing as real security in this world.
No.
We all know that. But that's as secure as you can get, to have your own building for your studio rather than somebody selling your building and you're
So Dion had the vision. Dion saw this building, and she looked out the top window, and she saw Mount Rainier in all its glory, and she saw space.
Possibilities.
She saw the space.
Wow.
Right.
Are you on the top floor?
I was on, yes, I
your
am.
Studio.
I've been moving my studio a little everywhere, but I'm back to the south view of the top floor, watching Mount Rainier once again.
Yeah.
And the other artists were people you knew, or you put the word out on a list, or how did this come about?
Well, John?
Basically, while we were building it, the word had got out that we were building it in, and people started showing up, Seattle lacks a lot of affordable artist space anymore that's nice,
And heated,
yes, and has lights and sinks and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think the longest we've ever had an empty studio has been 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
No, yeah,
so people are on a waiting list, basically.
Well, they were, but it got so long, we had to stop it.
Well, we just put the word out.
Has anyone else followed suit? Has anyone else tried to do this in Seattle?
There are some attempts. They're a little bit different than us, I think, because I'm not sure anybody's owner and artist.
More entrepreneurial middle persons have done it.
That's what I that's the normal.
A lot of our original artists, tenants, were printmakers who had worked with Dion at her business, and some were students and former students of mine, and then friends, people we knew who were interested in a studio. So it worked out great from the very get-go.
Oh, I bet people were thrilled that you were doing this.
They
were. And that you were doing it, and they didn't have to.
Right.
You're going, what have I done? Oh, my goodness. So, now, fast forward. What year did you say, 2003?
That was 2003. We opened our doors in 2004.
Okay, so that's 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm. It's our,
And do you have, so it's a studios, and do you also have shows there?
Mm-hmm. Every month we participate in the Ballard Art Walk, and people come through our building, mostly community people, and visit our studios. We try to be open for most of the art walks, each person who has a studio there, and talk a little bit about our work, show our work, maybe make a sale, which would be great.
That'd be nice.
And we've had community enthusiasm for what we do.
Do some of you show your work in other galleries as well? Yeah.
And we also have shows of other artists on our walls.
Okay.
So we have actually
wonderful
monthly shows that change and that are curated by many of our tenants.
Right. Okay, so now here you are in Astoria, because this time, tomorrow night, you are going to be taking part in Astoria Art Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be, again, at this group show will be at Imogen. You've got 11 artists. Are any of the other artists going to make it down? this weekend? I'm not sure.
No, they're not able to make it this weekend, but one of our other artists is coming in 2 weeks
with
a friend, and she will be here. Cappy will be here for Sunday, the 27th,
okay.
I think.
It's July. Also our art walk tomorrow at Ballard Works.
So
they're down holding the fort.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So tell us now, Joan. Well, let me start with Dion and John. Dion, you mentioned printmaking. Is that your only or major or chosen? How does it work for you?
How does it work? I consider myself a painter who uses printmaking to do my work, which means that unlike a lot of printmaking, which is focused on being able to reproduce your image many times, I mostly create or often create one of a kind. Monoprints, yeah. Not monotypes, we're not going to go into the technical, but...
Well, we, in this town, printmaking has, I don't know whether you've heard about this, but Royal Nebaker started basically a movement in this town, teaching at the college, and we have the North Coast Printmakers Collective.
Oh, great.
They're going to be on next week, as a matter of fact, so...
Great,
yeah.
Great.
But so I know a little bit more than I would have otherwise. So
I use all kinds of printmaking techniques. And when I had Sev Shun, I had many different presses that allowed me to do a lot of different techniques to build up my prints that are very layered. So,
How many pieces are you going to have in this show?
I have two.
Two? Okay.
Two or three, maybe. I'm not sure.
Three.
I think you have three.
It's because I have two in another show.
Okay.
I think you have three.
Show and down here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm very much looking forward. How about you, John? You mentioned painting, but you started as a glass worker.
Yeah, I started out in glass work 68 with Michael Whitley at Highline Community College. And we built what we believe was the first artist glass furnace in Washington.
Oh, my.
We're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few years, I've been doing mostly beads, making beads and jewelry,
glass
beads,
okay.
Venetian-style beads.
Oh, yes.
But in this show, I'm showing paintings. I just got tired and needed a break from the 3D stuff and started painting again.
Poor you. You had to take a break and paint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
It's I just admire so much the idea that you have the skill to be able to move over into another area. So, and many of you do. That's the nice part. So what are we going to see tomorrow night of yours? What kind of painting do you do? Is it abstract?
It's kind of abstract. It has a landscape-y feel to it.
Color?
A lot of color.
Yeah, I'm thinking from the glass, I'm thinking.
You know,
Someone
told me the other day I was a fauvist. You know, if you remember
that
moment.
Oh, yes, okay.
Movement
wow.
way
okay.
back when.
There you go.
You know, but I just kind of... I lay a stroke of color on and see where it goes. You know.
Wonderful. And you'll have?
I have three pieces.
Three pieces in the show. Okay. And how about you, Joan?
Well, I've been working with encaustic painting for quite a while, over 20 years, in addition to other media, monotype being my other main media. And I also work with acrylic and oil paint. But encaustic has been a method of painting for me that's been very important in my work because I can embed, I guess you could say, personal history in my work. So I have lots and lots of layers in my encaustic paintings.
Let me ask you, how long have you been doing encaustic-ish?
20 years.
Okay.
Over 20 years. Yeah.
I was wondering because I had never heard of it at one point, and then suddenly I heard of it, and now I have it in my home because I just love it.
Well,
that.
It's an ancient technique that was made popular in the 60s and 70s again, and then it's kind of come to the fore. It's a very labor-intensive technique, so sometimes people start out because it's fun, and then it involves a lot of practice to get it to where you want it to be in a special, unique way.
Mm-hmm.
So not that many people continue it for a long time.
So you will have...
I have three pieces in the Imogen show.
Mm-hmm. And then, now let's move over and bring in Nancy as well. Joan... Stuart Ross has a solo show at River Sea. And will you be, is that encaustic collage?
Yes, I have 13 paintings that are all encaustic with mixed media collage.
Mm-hmm.
And encaustic, I should probably just say in one sentence for the people who haven't heard about it, the word is a Greek word meaning to burn in, and E-N. In, and then caustic. Nobody we know is caustic, but caustic does mean to burn in. And the materials used are beeswax, Damar varnish, and colored pigment. Mm-hmm. So those are made into a molten substance and then used to paint with.
Okay.
And then burned in with a torch. So it's kind of an elaborate technique.
Yeah, for sure.
And I have a show of 13 new paintings using that technique.
Well, and you mentioned the word pigment, so I'm going to give Nancy, it's going to be short because I just looked at the clock, but Nancy, Nancy Pobans, also from Seattle.
No, Eugene.
Oh, wait, Eugene.
Yeah.
Aha, I didn't realize that. How did this happen? But you and Joan are friends, you know each other. Have you shown at River Sea before?
No.
Okay, so what are we going to see of your work? This is a solo show at River Sea by Nancy.
There are about, I think, 16 pieces, and they are not representational. I start with going to the high desert of Oregon and collecting colored earth and rock and process it by pulverizing it in a mortar and pestle. And then I reduce it to a powder on a glass plate with a glass tool on top. And then I mix it either to make watercolor paint or acrylic paint or pastels. And it also includes handwriting with...
Wait a second. Then do you use that on paper or either, on the glass or what?
Either paper or canvas.
Okay. So, yeah. So you're... Wow. That talk about labor-intensive again, doing all of that work to get there. And then what was after your...
I do handwriting in almost all the pieces, and I use ink that I've made from oak galls and
from
walnuts.
What was the first word?
Oak galls.
Oak.
Yeah. Those are two that I can get in the Willamette Valley, and they're color fast.
Ah,
yes.
Nice.
They're ancient. They're ancient.
And when you say handwriting, is this what a lot of folks say, calligraphy? Or
I don't consider it calligraphy.
Right.
I it's my handwriting. I did study briefly calligraphy.
So are you doing just abstract words or letters, or are you writing something?
It is my writing. I mean, I'm writing something.
Okay.
But I don't want to read it again. I certainly don't want anybody else to read it again. So I find all kinds of ways to disguise it.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We have a mystery tour here. All right, folks. Well, tomorrow night, as you can tell, this is Astoria Art Walk. Lots of the galleries in town and some of the businesses are involved as well. Luminary Arts is showing Chris Bryant's Plein Air Oils. Tempo Gallery is featuring Kimberly Reed. That's the cooperative gallery. And Tom Dickerson's Laughing Duck Digital Pond. Yes, that is the name of a new gallery. It is showing Catherine Elmetton, and there are many more. We've been featuring Imogen Gallery with Joan Stuart Ross and Dionne Harutunian and John Gleason of Ballard Works with 11 artists, and River Sea with two solo shows, again, Joan Stuart Ross and Nancy Pobans. Oh, it's going to be quite the night. Thank you all so much for coming in, and congratulations on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks for doing Ballard Works.
Thank you.
Good example to set. Okay, I've got a little music, and then I've got two more guest spots, so do stay tuned, folks. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Carol here at Arts Live and Local.
Is this the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play?
I don't remember growing older. When did they?
When did she get to be a beauty? When did he grow to be so tall?
Why?
wisdom can I give them? How can I help to ease their way?
Now they must learn from one another, day by day.
They look so natural together,
just like two newlyweds should be.
Oh my goodness. Well, it is already July. It's not even the month of June, but we're still having weddings all over the place. But that one goes out to my brother and sister-in-law, Bob and Vivian, and all the people who have had this melody at their weddings. However many years ago, Sunrise Sunset from, yes, Fiddler on the Roof. It is opening tonight, folks. And people from Fiddler were on last week. That's Papa. And it's at the Fort Columbia Theater in Chinook tonight and tomorrow night at 7, Sunday at 2, all the way through August 10th. And don't forget the Astor Street Opry is Friday, Saturday, and Thursday at 7 for their 30th season. And the Coaster is showing Into the Woods tonight and Sunday, and Saturday, 39 Steps. Peninsula Player auditions tonight at 7, and that's the River City Playhouse, and Saturday at 10 a.m. Holy cow, there's certainly plenty going on. Well, I stayed up last night, or rather this morning, till 3 o'clock in the morning, because I thought I would just scan the book, but I couldn't. And it's all my guests' fault, actually. Kate Dyer Seeley. Hi, Kate.
Hi, many apologies.
Oh, no, I know. You know, you're not really sorry, I can tell. Her book, Scene of the Climb, very clever.
Thank you.
Pacific Northwest Mystery. And before I forget, did you say you're having a signing after this?
Yeah, at Lucy's.
Lucy's on
12th
Street.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's great. I'm glad you managed to put that together, because it's quite fun. Now, I have to, for a disclaimer, I'm not a mystery person. I scare easily, and so I don't usually read that kind of thing. But I thought, well, you know, okay, let's check it out. And at first I thought, now, is this young adult or adult? Because you cover all where the protagonist is 23 years old?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yep, as you can tell, I got sucked right in. And I'm not going to give the denouement, but I'm going to let Kate tell you however much she wants to tell you about the book. Give us an overview of the book, and then why.
Why? Well, I think, first of all, it's technically a cozy mystery, meaning you can cozy up with a cup of tea, or in Meg, my protagonist's case, a pint of beer, because it's
yes.
a Pacific Northwest mystery. So.
It is very Pacific Northwest. That's one of the things that hooks you. If you live around here, you can't help but go, oh, of course, I know that place. I've been there.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
So it's not a lot of gratuitous violence. So hopefully, you know, you didn't scare too easily. It's pretty tame. It's sort of like a modern day Nancy Drew. And
which is what I grew up on.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. Me too. And Meg's 23. She's fresh out of journalism school. And she's pretty sure she's going to win a Pulitzer. She's going to become an investigative reporter. However, newspapers are struggling. She can't get a job. She's crashing on her best friend's couch. So she has a chance encounter with a very dreamy editor of Northwest Extreme magazine.
This is where I got the young adult part. Oh, God, a dreamy boss, of course.
Of course. She bills herself as an intrepid adventurer in order to land a gig writing for this outdoor publication.
That is, she lies.
She totally
flat
lies.
Flat out lies. Okay, let's call a spade a spade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No skill whatsoever.
None.
And so then, as fate would have it, the magazine sends her out to all of these beautiful locations that we have here in Oregon, the first one being Angel's Rest in the Columbia River Gorge to cover an adventure race that's filming in town. And she finds a way to trek herself up the trail, not very well.
Effectively.
Yeah, exactly. And she sees a body plummet off the top.
Okay, now stop right there.
Okay.
Okay, folks, you can see why I'm saying I don't usually read this kind of thing, but I got hooked. Let's mention to folks that you were kind enough to actually, at the very back of the book, well, don't go there first, though.
No.
you have described each of these places and how to get to them.
Yeah.
So people who hopefully will not be seeing bodies going up, down, or otherwise, which they don't usually do, will be able to go to some of these gorgeous places. And I... Including the brewery.
Yes.
Okay, of course. Of course, yes. Beer is featured highly in this book. And one of the main characters also is someone I recognized. His name in the book is Leaf Green.
Yes.
And I went, I know who that is.
Yes, absolutely.
And many people in Astoria will recognize him as well. Although, so what made you do this? Now, you have written other stuff before.
Yeah, I wrote a memoir before, which was very serious. But I've been a fan of the mystery genre, hence Nancy Drew. I read all the Agatha Christie books. And I really did feel like there was something, no one had really captured our outdoor culture here in the Northwest, and it just seems so ripe for opportunity. And this is the first in a series, so.
Yes, that was the other thing it says, first in the series, first in a new series, and I'm going, huh? And then right before the end, there were three initials, and I went, ah, I know what the next book is.
Exactly.
And I will be reading it. I'm afraid I am hooked.
Yay, so, great. Yeah, so there are just so many places to send her. The next book's going to take place at Mount Hood. She's going to be windsurfing. She's definitely going to make it out this way to the coast. I just think it's a great way to showcase.
Fess up. Are you, in addition to being a writer, I read a little bio of you. I didn't see anything about an adventure.
I have a little bit of Meg in me, but I do. I love to hike. I hiked Angel's Rest with my dad, who's an English teacher, five times to prepare for this. So every book or every climb in the book, I hiked myself. And that's actually where I got my inspiration. My family and I were out hiking in the gorge one day, and I saw this young 20-something girl with pink hiking boots on. And she was just like... flipping up the trail, and I was like, that is a character. Yeah, I have to write her.
At least she wasn't wearing 3-inch heels.
No, she was not.
Uh-huh,
no.
Uh-huh. You have to read the book, folks.
Yeah.
Or go over to Lucy's Books on 12th Street. And what time do you think you're going to be able to?
I'm going to be there probably by 4:30, and I'll be there until 6. And then she'll probably have some signed copies too, so people can pick them up.
Okay.
Yeah.
The book is Scene of the Climb. And when Kate was kind enough to offer to send me a copy, I said, well, only if it will fit in I only have a little rural mailbox. And she said, oh, it'll fit. Well, it fits. It's a pocketbook.
Yeah.
It really is. And that was the other thing. I went, whoa, this is, I don't usually see books like this, but I enjoyed it very much. And I think most people who live around here especially, but anywhere, I have a lot of friends who read mysteries. They eat mysteries.
Yes.
And this definitely will go a long way for that. Congratulations, Kate Dyer Seely. And Kate, how, if someone can't come to Lucy's, how do they get your book and website or contact number or what?
It's for sale. I like to say anywhere good books are sold. I love supporting independent bookstores. So, you know, independent bookstores, but anywhere else, you know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. I have
Let's
an author
stick to
site.
The independent bookstores.
I know.
On
I prefer.
My
yeah,
show.
Exactly.
I don't allow those other names.
Yes, I'm totally with you. So find your indies and you can find me online.
How does someone find you online?
It's just katedyerseely.com.
That's DYER. SEELEY. And Kate is KATE. Well, thank you so much for sharing the book and for doing the research. And I might even get to some of these places. I know I've been to a couple of them, like Multnomah Falls, and the breweries.
Yes.
Of course.
Of course. And, you know, Meg, a.k.a. me, is going to have to go to, you know, Fort George for sure tonight or
Absolutely.
Somewhere, right?
Yeah, we've got a lot of good breweries in this area, as does most of Oregon these days,
Absolutely.
I gather.
Yeah.
So. And you live in Portland?
I live in Vancouver, the other side
in
of Portland. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other side. Don't let them hear you say that. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in. And thanks so much for the book.
Thanks so much for having
me. Okay. Again, Scene of the Climb. It should be easy to remember if you very clever. And Kate Dyer Seely, the author. And again, she'll be at Lucy's Books in less than an hour. It's almost time. Thanks.
Thank you.
And I'm going to put on a little bit of music relevant to my next and last guest, and I think you'll figure out what it is. Whoa, here we go.
Hello.
Well, indeed, the FinAm Fest is coming, and it's actually, well, I'll let my guests tell you, but I'm not sure how to even pronounce it. We sent NACEL Heritage Days, but it's spelled differently and may have been pronounced differently, too. I just want to run through a couple of other things happening this weekend. The Voodoo is having, Voodoo Room in Astoria is having O'Doon's and Soft Kingdom tonight at 9 and Sunday, Doom Spiro Sparrow at 9. Bay City Arts Center, 5 to 7 tonight, is an artist reception, and I told you all the shows going on. Tomorrow, the Hoffman at 1 o'clock, Write About Yourself, Astoria Art Walk, and don't miss it, lots and lots happening. The Hook and Anchor at Cape Disappointment Waikiki Beach at 7. Armory is having a Latin dance party hosted by Cornelio at 9 p.m. with live music as well as DJ. And there's a Democratic dinner with Tina Kotek, the Speaker of the House, at the Elks at 6:30. And you do need tickets at clatsopdemocrats.org. And then Gala is having a dance after the art walk. So head on over there. Larry Taylor will speak. And dance is democratic, says Dinah Urell, and I say yes. Sunday, Astor Street Opry Company is starting a new thing, Sunday Music, from 6 to 8 with Bonnie Bentley and the Phantom Teardrops. At 6 to 8, and then, of course, Fort George at 8 o'clock, Side Street Rennie. There is music at all the venues in this area. Of course, there's music at the Sunday Market as well. Wednesday is Teen Art, Trails End, Tom Grant on that was on Monday. Wednesday is Tom Grant, and Sand Dune is Culpa, the movie premieres. And then Thursday, Seaside Library, James Herman book, Driftwood Forts of the Oregon Coast. There's lots and lots more going on, but I want to get to my guests. From the Finnish American Festival, I have Nick Nikola and Sue Holway. So welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having us.
And the festival is actually happening on the 25th to the 27th, so it's in 2 weeks. But we wanted to get you guys ready for this, because this is one of my personal favorite festivals. It's small enough and yet full enough that you can really experience the whole thing. So why don't you tell us, what is this NASEL Heritage Days?
Okay, well, that was how they spelled it in the old days, and you still pronounce it NASEL.
Is that how they
said
it? Okay.
And then they fancied it up a little, L-L-E, that, you know, that was the Indian nasal. NASEL.
And so then they made it French.
Yeah, well,
with
mean,
the L-L-E.
Who knows if that's the way the Indians spell
that's
it.
True. That's true. Or pronounced, yeah.
Yep.
So, what's going to be, this is the 17th biennial, folks. That means it's every other year. So, it started 34 years ago then. Must
yep.
be.
Yep. 1982.
1982. That's a year before KMUN. Wonderful. So, tell us what about the festival. Now, I should say, Nick Nikola is. That's not your real first name. I'm sure your parents could never have named you Nicholas Nikola.
No, it's actually Richard. But
okay, but Nick is cute. You would have had, if you were born on Christmas, maybe they would have dared, but otherwise. You are actually in charge of the entertainment along with, you're the co-chair with Lyle Haria.
Right, right.
Programmer.
Right.
So what's going to be happening?
Well, we're going to have a mix of performers from near and far, and I think between the two of us, we can give you a bit
yeah.
Of a
tell us, who's the near and who's the far.
Oh, we got 8 near and 3 sort of near and 5 far. How's that?
Okay,
do you want the big names? Or, well, okay, NASEL, we got the Big Hill, Lisa Big Hill and Lois Big Hill from and of NASEL. We have both wonderful. Soprano and alto, I think they are, and they each have their gig. And then we have As a Sparrow, which are the three granddaughters of Wilho, sorry.
Oh, that's right. Did you hear Wilho?
Four. There are 4 of them.
Did you hear Wilho got a mention on the Music in the Gardens tour?
And some of his granddaughters will be performing at the National FinFest USA in Minneapolis,
really?
The week after our festival. So,
I have heard them.
They go to the little stage in Minneapolis after the big stage in NACEL.
Isn't it fabulous, though, that Wilho, who is a master, isn't he a national treasure?
Yeah, he certainly is. Yeah, he's gotten both state and national awards. As high as he can go. Yeah.
Right, as a cantala. But tell people what a cantala is.
It's like a lap harp. It's a stringed instrument that you can hold on your lap or on a table and then pluck. And it's a wonderful instrument of Finland that, of course, is tied in with all their folklore and the Kalevala, their oral tradition, and slong. They said they were playing them in the marshes of Finland long before.
Oh, wow.
Sweden was civilized.
I love that that Vilho, in addition to performing, he also teaches, and that's how his grandchildren are now carrying on the tradition.
He came with a musical gene, I think, but he is generous in sharing and with his group from Seattle as well. Then we're also going to have the Finnish American Choir, and that's just wonderful. It's a local talent, but we try to keep bringing out local talent.
Of course.
I mean, because so many festivals get so full of outside talent, you forget that local people do well too.
And you know what happens when the outsiders go home?
Yeah,
right.
Flops.
Exactly.
Well, so it's wonderful that we have locals who continue.
And then we got the teenagers from NACEL with the marimba band. They have a lot of fun, and they do the marimba. They even get Finnish tunes in there. Gene Quilho is a relatively newer to NACEL guitarist, and then we call him kind of local. He has roots in NACEL,
what's his name?
And that's Carl
Workla
and the Ghost Town Boys.
And the Ghost Town Boys.
I could have played their music,
too.
And you've heard him. And then Willapa Hills are coming.
Oh, great.
And then
love them.
The Astoria Scandinavian Dancers are coming.
Good,
and Acoustica also from the area.
And they're going to sing in Finnish, I'm sure. Dolores has been learning.
And out of Seattle, Katrilli Dancers, and they're going to be accompanied by Folk Voice, who also perform at the Scandinavian Festival.
We're running out of time. Tell us what else there is besides all these fabulous performers. I know there's good food.
Alatar, you better talk about Alatar.
Well, I'll mention one that it's two young ladies, one who lives in Helsinki and one who lives in Minneapolis. And one is a violinist and one is an accordionist. Mm. And they actually do their music up through the cloud, all their arrangements.
Oh, wow. That's
great. In Minneapolis, puts it up in the cloud. Yep. The other one pulls it down and works on it.
Yep.
Puts it back in the cloud. And,
isn't that a
miracle?
That
way, it's just amazing. Yep. And that way they come up with their tunes.
But they're going to be here
They're going to be here, not in the cloud. They'll be here in person.
Fabulous. Yeah. Now, how does someone find out what the schedule is?
The website.
Yeah, you can go to the website, naselfinam.net.
Okay, that's NASEELLE.
Right.
Finam.net.